you're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is the advancement of the kingdom.
And let them have dominion.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavens.
2 Chronicles chapter 15.
Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him." Look at that statement. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. I used to think if you forsake him, he will remain committed. It's not true. There is a scripture, if we are not faithful, he remains faithful. So that scripture, if you are not careful, you will misinterpret it. It takes two to tango, they say. It takes two to make a covenant work, two parties. Verse 3. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. For a long time, Israel has been without a true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. In those times, there was no peace to him that went out, to him that came in. But great turmoil was over all the inhabitants of the land. Nations were destroyed by nations, cities by cities, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong, do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. When Asa heard these words, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he has taken at the Mount of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibules of the Lord. He gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwell with them from Ephraim, Manasseh and Simeon, for they came over to him in great number from Israel when they saw that the Lord God was with him. So they gathered together Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. Verse 11. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls, 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpet and ram's horn. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their soul, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest. Roundabout. Read verse 19. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of King Asa. This action took place at the 15th year of the reign of Asa, till the 35th year, 20 years after. Not a single war. And this was a time when nations were destroying nations, cities were destroying cities. God gave them peace. Let me explain something to you. There are different levels of covenant. For example, a whole nation, I have a document here. The three major covenants United States cut with God. The key to building a successful nation is covenant. The key to building a successful business is covenant. The key to building a successful family, marriage, is covenant. The key to building a successful church, ministry, It's covenant. If you want friendships that will last, friends that you can trust, look for covenant friends. Look at what can happen to you. You that is listening to me now. In relationships. Remember, the purpose of covenant is to protect relationships. And relationship is one thing that if you don't have, you can't succeed in life. The greatest hurts, wounds, you will carry with you through this, your journey, early journey, will be inflicted on you by human beings. And not just anyhow human beings, those close to you. If you read the book of Zechariah, when Jesus returns, you can still look at his hand and see holes. You look on his side and still see holes that has been healed by his immortality, but the mark refuses to go. And the book of Zechariah puts it this way. He said, these are the wounds I got in the house of my friends. Not for my enemies. My friends in his own house did this thing to me. Let me give you one insight about the vulnerability of human relationships. Psalm 41. Look at this. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be merciful. When a conspiracy, a betrayer, is engineered by a person that is intimate, it's only God that can save you from it. If God doesn't save you, the scripture warns that as we head closer and closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is in these last days, betrayers will be more on the increase. That means that you must be taught how to build covenant relationships. If not, you're opening yourself up for a major fall in life. My own familiar friend in whom I trusted. The one that comes, I give him money. We share things. Even sometimes share clothes. Ate my bread. Is the same one. Why is life like this? Let me give you a little more to think about. Psalm 35. In the natural here, David was writing about Ahithophel. The guy he was talking about here was Ahithophel. In the spiritual, he was prophesying about what Judas would do to Christ. When Judas came to betray Jesus, Jesus called him one word. He said, friend, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? The one you and I are serving has been wounded in the house of his friend. If you have never sustained a wound in the house of people you loved or trusted, I think you are just beginning in life. You will soon learn a few things about life. The demon or the devil you are looking for is in human beings. Stop looking for him in the air. He's not in the air. Stop pulling him down in the air. He's in people. The devil wears trousers and shirts and goes to church. The devil eats communion. He ate once with Jesus. Sat among the 12. Jesus looked at them and said, one of you is a devil. I see a devil in human being. Psalm 35. Let me just make this thing as serious as it should be. Verse 11. Fierce witnesses rise up against me. They ask me things that I do not know. They reward me evil for good. To the sorrow of my soul. As for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. You see me mourning. They were sick. It was as if I was the one sick. Watch this. I humbled myself with fasting. My prayer will return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or a brother. I bowed down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered together. Attackers gathered against me, and I did not know it. They shot at me and did not cease. With ungodly mockers at the face, they gnashed at me with their teeth. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction. My precious life from the lions. He calls them lions. The most important ingredients for success in life is relationship. Yet, that is where most of the problems are. So, how in a world like this? A lady was talking to me today. We were talking about marriage, relationship, and all that. She was bringing up some points for what she thinks that we need to address in church as a whole. And she was raising some issues, talking about people moving in and taking over families, you know, people who are desperate for marriage, moving in and taking over other people's husbands. I said to her, no, a Christian cannot do that. He said, the ones I'm talking about are done by Christians. He said, maybe it doesn't happen in your church in Lagos. It happens where I am. All affairs in marriage, involve somebody that is very close to the family. Actually, majority of them. And it's usually somebody that, in most cases, the two people know and see as friends. Most affairs, let's put it that way, because there are a few cases, but you don't call a man falling into a sexual sin an affair. No. An affair does not just happen once. A relationship develops and then this thing continues. Most of them happens with somebody that many a time both the man and husband know. The one that is likely to be sleeping with your wife is the one that you of you know very well. That's what I'm telling you now. I have been in this thing since 1985, for over 20 years. I have dealt with all sorts of things. And some of the most heartbreaking experiences with couples and the one that is likely to be screwing your daughter in your house, in your absence, is likely to be even your friend you bring to the house. That I have not seen people sleeping with uncles, you know, these so-called uncles, not naturally. You know, they are not real uncles, they are not related, but or wives with so-called uncle. I have seen at least close to 100 cases of this thing, and they are all family friends. The other affairs that occur in the office, because of the condition, the working condition, the man, the lady is the secretary and all that, that condition, and they have that privacy of the secretary just stays there, and there's that level of exclusivity involved in their work, and emotions can go, such things happen. You need to learn how to build covenant relationships, and you shouldn't bring people beyond certain level. There should be limits. You should have outer court, inner court, and holiest of all. You should have those dimensions. Before you start bringing people into your innermost being, you have to know the kind of relationship. You don't just take people anyhow and bring them in. God doesn't do that. The Bible says, John chapter 2, Jesus did not commit himself to men. He didn't. But then he picked a group of people whom he began to train for a deeper level of work. And when he saw that they were ready for that, they entered into that dimension. And he told them, I no more call you servants. This thing has left up. When the word friend in the Bible doesn't mean the same thing as we use it here. You know, we're in African culture that has been influenced by the Western culture. But we're trying to interpret a Bible that is written in Jewish culture. The word friend doesn't mean casual acquaintance, somebody you just, you know. That word is deep. It means somebody you have a very deep commitment. In most cases, there is covenant. Psalm 55. Look at this one. This one is sad. Each time you read it, you know. During the Passion Weeks, I usually try to travel with Jesus through his experiences. I try to make the journey in the eyes of my mind. I take the Gospels again, I read them again, and I try to make all that journey with him. Look at Psalm 55. For it is not an enemy who reproach me. Then I could have borne it. It would have been easy to handle. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. Because he doesn't know my secrets. There is a limit to how far he can go. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion, my friend. We took sweet counsel together as we walked to the house of God. That's the one that is very sad. They worship in the same congregation. Can I get one translation that is not King James, you know? Any of these simple English speaking? Yes, please read it for me, sir. 12,
sir.
Yes. Just listen.
It was not my enemy who taunted me. Then I could have borne it. I could have hidden and escaped. But it was you, a man like myself, my companion and my friend. What fellowship we had. What wonderful discussions as we walked together to the temple of the Lord on holy days.
Are you seeing that? If he was an enemy, I could have escaped. This David, the warrior. This guy had dealt with giants, dealt with all kinds of people. The one I have opened myself up to, shared all sorts of things with. If you see the sittings of the disciples, there are 12 of them. Jesus will be sitting like this. On the right here is Judas. That's how close he was. On this side is John. After John is Peter. There was somebody between Peter and Jesus. It was John. When Jesus was eating with them, he said, "One of you will betray me." Peter wanted to know who the person was. All of them were saying, "Is it I? Is it I?" Peter couldn't even ask him directly. Peter turned to John and said, "John, ask him." John leaned over on his bosom. And John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. He can lie on his bosom. He leaned over and said, "Lord, who is it?" He said, "Watch. Once I dip my hand in the plate, anybody I give this thing, that is the person." He used a coded language to communicate. He dipped it in, gave it to Judas. The guy collected it and ate. According to the scripture, the Bible said that while they eat, Judas is one that eat with Jesus from the same plate. He was one he entrusted with the money, the finances of the ministry. You see, friendship creates intimacy, but intimacy creates vulnerability. Are you a trustworthy person? We all feel sad when it happens to us, but what about you? What about you? Proverbs chapter 25, verse 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot out of joint. Can you imagine now? I don't know. Maybe there is commotion, something that can take life, and you wanted to run just to clear maybe a few years away so you can be safe. And that's when your leg goes off. Hey! Somebody was telling me about a grandmother. There was a commotion whether the house caught fire and everybody was running. And the grandma tried to. She couldn't. And then she was burned down. So she tried to go back to help her. But the fire had gone so bad that the other people had to call her to come out. So they don't lose two people. She was having these problems with her waist and all that rheumatism and the rest of them. So can you imagine where you really need your leg? And this is what divorce is like. Because a picture, a very good picture of marriage is like the two legs that you have in your body. One body with two legs. When God binds two people into one, what he's trying to do is to give a backup engine to your aircraft. So that if you are flying across the Atlantic and one engine goes off, you have another one to carry you through the journey. That's why two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their... Can you imagine? It doesn't matter what goes on. He said if two are together and something comes against them, it might be sickness, it might be anything, they can withstand it. That's why he built marriage on covenant relationship. Because in covenant relationship, the two parties sees, each person sees the other person's success as his own success. I want to see. I have a dream to see that church that Jesus died to birth. That church he died to build. Where people are operating in the God kind of love. Where people can defend each other with everything that they've got. You know why God gave me a wife? So I can have two legs. Now, the danger for those of us who are in ministry, in business, in leadership, one thing you can have wrongly is to be growing one leg and leave the other out. The day you will need to use them, you will realize what you have done wrong. So ministers who just grow and leave their wives behind, after they made the progress, the woman pulls them down. Oh, join me back. There are business people who don't bring their wife into what they are doing. I don't blame some of them. Some of them have been hurt by people before. Some don't even trust women. Some people are married, but they are not in any covenant relationship at all. Their relationship is just any other. It's just like any other thing. Some even trust their sister or their mother or their father more than the one they said they married. That marriage needs to leave that realm. If you want to enjoy what God had in mind, I say it's like two engines in one aircraft. Two are better than one. God wants to give you a security, a backup, because there are circumstances of life that come in future. That's why in marriage, it's not about my money, your money. It's no more about that. It's about two, like the death of two selfish wills, two selfish persons, to build one thing that they have in common. Things happen in life. How can I tell my wife where I have properties and some of my investments and all that? You don't tell women everything. You don't know what you're doing, my friend. Bring that wife into a deeper level of work. Bring her into a covenant relationship. The reason is because the moment the relationship enters that level, it has its own guarantees. If she decides to become the whatever, the thing will take care of her. You don't need to be worrying yourself about, is this man faithful to me? Is this man not faithful to me? Is this person reliable? Is this person, is that what you're going to be doing all your life? You need relationships to succeed in life, and you better learn how to build them. But we in Christ have another dimension. When I say things like, it is impossible for me to leave my marriage or to walk away from it, people don't know. What I'm talking about, it's not guesswork. This has nothing to do with feelings or what you like or what you don't like. If I try it, of course, I also know that I probably will not live up to 7 years after that. But if she does it, she gives me the liberty. You see, in your relationship with God, God cannot break covenant with you. But if you do, you also have opportunity for reconciliation. That's why divorce is dangerous, because divorce is like marital amputation. It's like amputation. It's like removing a leg or a hand. It's like removing one of your eyes. If you are really married, if you have really become one, like the scripture said, divorce is like, actually, you know, like when you cut Siamese twins. Depending on where they are joined anyway. Because in this particular one, God joins two lives together. That's what he does in marriage. The joining is not just joining of hands. It's joining of hearts. And it's also joining of brains. So it's like you're going to do the surgery. So in most cases, you end up killing one person. And then the one that remains alive is also damaged. The way God views your relationship with your wife or your husband is not like two people relating. He sees the two people as now what? One. The Bible says, he that loves his wife loves himself. He that hates his wife hates himself. So when a man loves his wife, cherishes his wife, it's the same way you look after your body, the same way you look after yourself. That's why you can also compare a man that beats his wife to a madman. Because you see a man going about now flogging himself, breaking bottle on his head, stabbing himself, you automatically know that some virus has entered inside the computer. He needs healing or deliverance. Oh, hallelujah. So Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. So remember what we read in 25, confidence in an unfaithful man. Don't carry your life and entrust into the hands of people just like that. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim each one his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? Who goes about telling him his bad side, you know, telling all those ugly stuff? Even in relationship, we usually... That's why I teach the seven tests of love. When people are getting married, we pass them through some of those things. One of them is the test of the quarrel test. I ask them, have you ever quarreled? And usually they will tell you, no, we don't quarrel. We love each other so much that we don't. I say, you hypocrite, stop deceiving yourself. That means you're not being real. Because part of the test of love is the ability to resolve crises, resolve issues. When you see that people had disagreement, it doesn't mean they don't love themselves. It's what they do with it that determines how much they actually love themselves. Have you ever quarreled with God before? Have you ever had issues? I don't know about you. Since I gave my life to God, I've had a few times where I thought, Lord, I don't think you got it right here. One time I told him, for this time, this particular time now, you are wrong. You cannot tell me anything. That's when I was learning how to operate in faith. I said, I believed. You cannot tell me that I didn't have faith. If you send me to hell, I will tell everybody there that you have failed. Anyway, but that's one thing about God that is, I don't know. At the end of the day, I had to own up again. The guy doesn't fail. And then it was, you know. But then, you know, I was worried. What about those things I said? I hope the man can. Then the pastor called me and said, no, no, no. I said, are you sure? Is he still angry? He said he wasn't even angry. He knew that you were a baby Christian. If your little child walks up and says, Daddy, you're no more my friend. Of course, you're no more my daddy. I'm leaving this house. If he gets to the door, you go there and carry him and put him inside. Or you might leave him to take a little stroll. And then, sometimes if you can even open the gate for him. Oh, yeah. When he sees the first luxury bus coming, he says, where is my daddy? That's what happened to me in that case. What happened? I bound rain. I was learning to. That rain will not fall. You see, Elijah was a man like passion. What preachers do? That's what they taught us. They finished preaching. I had to practice it. And funny enough, the thing slowed down. It was just drizzling. So, and I remembered another word in the message, faith without works, that you should put some action. So I said, okay, I think I need to step out in this thing. By the time the rain sees me, we respect itself. And I put on my suit. I stepped on this thing. Hey, I was getting soaked. How many of you were part of the faith movement of the 80s when we were learning this faith thing? You know, like babies learning to walk. If you were part of it, you know what I'm talking about. Nothing a brethren didn't do. Some in believing God for car, they will go to the car park in the church and start claiming people's cars. You shall have whatsoever you say. Some were claiming wives. Oh yeah, it is time to say it. Somebody will close his eyes. Father, I claim in Kichi, I claim. And then the problem is, yeah, when you finish, you know, you now walk up to her. The lady doesn't want. You go back home wondering, this faith teaching doesn't work. I actually told God that day. I said, if you send me to hell, I will tell everybody. And then thunder came very close to where I was, passed. I got a revelation that day that I wasn't ready to die yet. Took off to a nearby building, and you know, after I calmed down, like Elijah, I was now wondering, how do I apologize for all these things I said today? But thank God that he is such a person that he is, you know. Proverbs 20 verse 6 said, people can say anything they like about themselves, tell you, you know, when people want to give you a proposal for business, it's like marketing a product and all that.
I don't know anybody that will come and tell you that my product is not good. So people market themselves, say all the things. But the question there is, a faithful man who can find. I'm going to give you keys for checking yourself. The characteristics of a faithful man. I'll just mention it. There are scriptures backing each of them, but we will not read it because our time is up. So you use it to start checking yourself, because faithfulness is a quality of the heart. It's a character quality. And character is like fruits. That's what the Bible talks about, the fruit of the Spirit. Not a gift. A gift can be given to you in an instant. Character is not cultivated in one day. And you don't start changing in any area of your life until you first discover that you have need for change. You may have a problem and not even know. To you, it's not a problem. After all, it doesn't affect you. It affects other people. There's a young lady, she has had close to 9 relationships, not one of them, you know, worked. And she doesn't see anything wrong with her. All the problems are with the guys. Number one. The reason I want to give you this is because the Bible does not encourage you to enter into covenant with an unfaithful person. There are 7 classes of people that God warned us not to enter into covenant with. One of them is the devil himself. I hope you know that demons, that guy betrayed God. You think he will be faithful to you? In the first place, God has power to punish him. You can't even punish him. It's a policy here in this ministry. If a pastor comes here and he's been a pastor and he wants to work in this place, the first thing we do is to write to the ministry where he's coming from to find out how he left that place. Because you have to be careful how you leave places. You have to be careful. You might need that place somewhere again in your future. Somebody ran to David and said, Saul had problems, so I finished him up. I cut off his leg and I brought his crown to you. And some ministers will collect the crown and put on their head. The same guy that gave you Saul's crown will be the one that will give your crown to somebody else. He will be the one to take your head off. You don't do that in ministry. It's an abomination. You don't just bring somebody who has destroyed a church, destroyed a ministry somewhere else. He comes over to you. The first thing is, how did you live where you were? What was your, and all that? And you want to know. Or if somebody comes to work for you in a company who stole and liquidated a bank or his organization or the last place he worked, you just take him like that. And someone will be telling you with their mouth, you know, now my bishop, that man is a fool. And but man of God, God told me that you are the one, you know. He showed me the future, that you are the next. That's your grave. The guy is telling you what you are going to be. You don't cut covenants with everybody. It's like marriage. Do you just get up and marry everybody? No. Before you want to marry a person, you have to be sure. The same thing about covenants. So you might want to build a business. You might want to build a ministry or build whatever. You don't cut covenant with everybody. But there must be a few people to whom you entrust. If you cannot entrust things to people, forget about it. The business will not move ahead. There must be a few people. You must know how to discern. And what you're looking for here is reliable people. 2 things are required anyway in organization. You need reliability and ability. You need people that are skilled, people who can get the job done. But if you only ask for that job skills and all that, you're looking for trouble. Because Judas was good with deliverance, healings, and all that. When he sent them out, they all did well. But that guy might be the one that will carry your whole company. Number one, an unstable person, a person that is given to change. Let me give you scripture on that one because of how I feel about it. Proverbs 24, verse 21 said, meddle not, don't build relationship. Don't build something that's intimate. It doesn't mean you don't interact with such people. I'm talking about intimate and confidential relationships. Don't build relationship with anybody that is given to change. I will tell you how to locate them. James chapter 1 says, a double-minded man is unstable in what? All his ways. Check him. He's like that. They can't keep steady with a job. They can't keep steady with a relationship. Everywhere, they cannot stay with something till that thing gets concluded. Today, he's blue. Tomorrow, he's white. It's not just emotional swing. They don't have conviction. They can't stay with something. They lack steadfastness. Now, if you notice that threat in you, realize that it's not a good thing. Attack it. Don't say, this is the way I am. Mm-mm. You are a child of God. You are a new creation. You have a new nature. You should be as faithful as God, because you now have his nature. If everybody just behaves, you just wake up one day, you don't feel like, you just change with the wind, this world will be something else. Because everybody that is married will tell you that there must have been a day they woke up, they didn't feel like continuing with this marriage. There are days you wake up, you don't feel like going to work. So you don't do things because you feel like, or you don't feel like. If you follow your feelings like that, you will be very unstable. The first son of the man named Jacob in the Bible, the patriarch of Israel, the first son Reuben, when he was releasing blessings on his children, he mentioned what hindered that giant from becoming who he was designed to be. He said, you are unstable like water. Because of that, you will not prosper. There is nothing you can follow to logical conclusion. They don't keep commitments. Any man that is given to change, and you don't know, check his records. There's nothing wrong with changing jobs when you need to change jobs. Maybe you need to move careers and all that, you know. But there are people. You may have something to do with, because everybody might not be altogether bad, but not where you need pillars. You know, blocks can go, building will still stand. But pillars, foundation and pillars, the vertical foundation and horizontal foundation, the ones under this building, but these ones are part of the foundation. They are made of the same substance that you make the foundation. Rods, concrete, and all that. You don't move pillars. You move them, buildings collapse. So you don't put such people in such places. You put them in disposable positions. Number two. Anyone that can keep secrets. Let me give you this. One of the mark of faithfulness is the ability to keep your mouth shut. If somebody does not permit you to share his secrets with others, don't do it. You don't get into somebody's life and then use the things they shared with you because they trusted you against them. Let me tell you something about information, what you share, opening of your heart. When you open your heart to a friend, you have armed that friend with a bullet that can kill you. That's why God is serious about how we build relationships. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. Can you keep secrets? Have you noticed something? Verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. You know, the Bible says love covers multitude of sin. But some people's revelation of love is it exposes multitude of sin. Now, why love can confront a person for his wrongdoing, what it doesn't do is to go about opening that nakedness to others. We have had cases of churches destroyed by people who, in the name that I are praying, they turn prayer meeting into gossip meeting. Hey, brethren, I want us to pray. I saw one vision. I saw a cow pursuing the pastor. I don't know. When I looked at that cow, the way the eyes were red, then I don't know what the Holy Spirit was telling me. Whether it is that. The art of discipleship is the art of teaching people loyalty and faithfulness. If you don't succeed at that, I don't care what else you have taught them, you have only armed demons. The same gun the armed robbers are using to keep it, the same one the police is using. Sometimes the armed robbers' one are even more loaded. So what is the difference? Even knowledge can be destructive. But knowledge is a weapon. It depends on what you are doing with it. If you read the Bible, brothers and sisters, There is an injunction in the New Testament about how we are to live our lives as brethren. It's hard to practice today. The Bible said, confess your faults. One, two. And maybe this guy is a bank manager and he fell into sexual sin with his secretary. He should be able to look around and say, oh, I really need help. My state now is so bad. He walks up to you. He says, this will happen to me. Please, I need somebody to be accountable to, somebody to tell this. First of all, I want you to help restore me. Secondly, I want you to hold me accountable so that this thing doesn't continue. Because this kind of sin is a sin that you fall into. It becomes a chain reaction. But somebody walking up to you, telling you this kind of thing, you don't know what happened in ministries. The Bible said, ye who are spiritual, when somebody falls into a sin, Galatians chapter 5, I think I need to show you that one. Because you will know what spirituality is. So. Galatians chapter 6, you can pick it from verse 1. If anyone falls into a sin or whatever, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now, a lot of people are now suffering in the secret. They can't talk. Everybody comes out, fine. But some are going through things that they need prayer. They need agreement. They need help. Who would they talk to? Yes, yes. Galatians 6 verse 1. Yes, verse 1.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one.
This is how you know that you are spiritual, though. Some people think spirituality is exposing people. Love cover. Can you imagine all the things you have told God? Just think about it if you know what faithfulness is. How many of you have shared secrets with God? How come he doesn't reveal them to me? I'm your pastor. Some of the things you confess, you should come and say, Pastor, hey, you need to see what my ear heard. This is your congregation. He doesn't talk to me about it. When God shares something with a person, he only shares on one condition, where he believes that this person can help this person stabilize. Maybe the person is going through that. It can help this person overcome that. Then the problem is some of the people that God shares secrets with. Wahala. They think it's a special weapon, a privilege God gave them. When I was young, like that time I was talking about, I began to function in the gifts of the Spirit. Because the prophetic is a very dangerous terrain. And I began to, once you become an intercessor, you start standing in the gap for people. It won't be long, you start picking things. You can pick from God, you can also pick from the devil. The devil talked to Christ. Don't think he won't talk to you. So, but I started picking things, and some of the things I pick, God will show them to me so that I will be able to make up the hedge, put things back in shape, restore that person. Sometimes I'm not even supposed to talk to the person. But in those days now, I watch what my elders were doing. We used to have one sister mommy. Once worship has finished, worship is coming, that you know that she's going to. There are some of you here. The Lord is showing me. Of course, if you don't stand up, I will expose you. Before you came to church, last week, after giving your life to Christ, you smoked again under the bridge. I can even tell you which bridge. Don't you know that if God is to be like that? So let's see what spirituality is.
He said, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
The guy is telling you that you that is restoring somebody. You are a doctor, you are curing typhoid. Who told you that you can't get it? He said, the thing could be in a reversal. So do it in a spirit of what?
Meekness.
In a spirit of what?
Meekness.
In a spirit of what? In a spirit of what?
Meekness.
Put in a modern day language. Do it the way you treat a sick person. Do it with compassion, realizing, you know, somebody said it rightly, that we are the only ones who kill our wounded soldiers. But the different other armies, they find the man is still alive. They take him to a safe zone where he receives treatment and is nurtured back to life. If he can go back to the army, he can go back after. If he can't, at least let him return back to his family. Because they got wounded in the course of fighting for the kingdom. A person that can keep secrets. a tailbearer. When people trust you with things, and this is also a principle I also want to teach every one of you. As you build relationship, before you start entrusting people with your life, bring them into levels of disclosure. And sometimes disclose some and watch what they will do with it. Give them some time. Actually, this is where we keep money in this company. You can see. Leave it for a while. Not where you really keep the main stuff. Just watch what. Keeping secret here is not about occultism or you are killing people. You say you're taking oath. It's not that type of word. It's about keeping confidence. When somebody is sharing his life with you, the person is actually at your mercy. Number three. Check. I share this both for your sake. First of all, it's for our sake. Before you start applying it to people, I want you to use it to check whether you are a faithful person, whether you have started cultivating. Check your words, your mouth. And I've noticed something about the human nature. Once people tell you some of their personal secrets, there is something in us that wants to broadcast. Have you noticed that? Once you have learned to control that thing, you should go to the grave carrying people's secrets. I was sharing with our staff. I said, do you know that there are some things that Jesus shared with the disciples for 3.5 years while he was alive? Nobody heard it. Some of them he shared with them to share after his death. Like the experience at the Mount of Transfiguration. There were other members of that 12 that never heard what happened there. Oh, it was wonderful. It was just a time of prayer and all that. Why? If those secrets were opened up, they would have thwarted the plan of redemption. If the evil spirits and the powers of darkness gained access to those information, you know what they would have done? They would have withdrawn everything about his death. The Bible said, for if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know that death is the plan through which God wanted to redeem us, that it was a sacrifice. They actually thought when they were catching him and arresting him, they were even surprised that they could destroy him. They were surprised. They thought he was going to disappear or something. They thought that that would be the end of the man. They did not know that they played into God's secrets, God's hand. Paul the apostle said, I was taken to the third heaven a number of times. But there are some things I heard which mouth human beings are not permitted to say. Can you imagine taking you to the throne room? Even me, I've had some experiences. Some of them, when I want to talk at some level, I get serious checks inside me. This God that everybody talks about opens his face to people. Once he can trust you to a level, he opens. He's opening because of that relationship. And then there are some things you are taught. He said, commit to faithful men. Everything is not for the public. He said, I don't agree with that kind of teaching. Okay, if you don't believe that some information should be kept, next time if you are married, you and your wife are doing your business, allow your 2-year-old kids, allow your teenage whatever to come and be watching. Let's see what they will become after. Third one, watch how you handle other people's properties or business. When something does not belong to you, you can know whether you're a faithful person by how you deal with what belongs to other people. You don't know that you are faithful because probably the business is now yours. Before you get your own, there will be opportunity to manage other people's things. It's so serious that it gets down to things like borrowing car, borrow a shirt, for those of you who do anyway, borrow shoe. The next thing, you bring it with the soul out. And say, you know, just take it. I don't know, but as I was passing, the thing just opened. So, but thank you, Shao. Just go. To you, that is just. Check how you handle other people's properties. Before you talk about handling other people's life and secrets and all that, just check little things. The Bible said you are not found faithful with such things. Mm-hmm. Check money, for money. Like I always say, anybody who is not a faithful tither is not qualified to be a pastor. You are putting a Judas into ministry. He has been stealing from God all his life. You now carry a thief. Of course, a robber, because the Bible says you have robbed. It didn't say steal. Stealing is done in the man's absence or without his knowledge. Robbing is done with your 2 eyes open before you.
And you can rob, or you can also do armed robbery. So God was talking about people robbing him. That means I am catching you. I'm aware. I'm looking at you. But you still do it. A man that can rob God, you think he can rob the church? A man that can rob God, you think he can rob you? I had a gentleman teaching about choosing a life partner. He said, check the guy. Is he a tither? If he's not a tither, run for your life. It's true, male or female. If you have built a level of relationship with God, then you better check. Because who you marry will affect the quality of your life. What we are talking about is what has to do with other people. People you are in relationship with. I'm not talking about your personal issues. You break your own car, or you break, but anyway, how you treat yourself or somehow. But I'll do something with a guy, he's still, but he's a faithful person. When he's dealing with you, he's honest. He still drinks sharks or whatever. That's his personal. I will go to a doctor that drinks, that smokes. I'm not talking about getting drunk. Because that one will affect me. If he's drunk and he's operating on you. So, but he drinks, he smokes. He knows that smoking is bad. He tells other people, but he smokes. I'll go to him. As long as he's faithful to his oath of office, as it relates to his job, when it comes to handling my body. Because this issue about covenant is about relationship. It's about relationship. It's about what you do to the other person. It's how to get us to be faithful to people. How to get us to be reliable and trustworthy. That's why it is said that faithfulness is the cornerstone of character. If you don't have it, you don't have character at all. If you don't have it, you can do any other thing. There's nothing else you cannot do. There's nothing else you cannot do. If you have it, it keeps you from doing many things. Learn to cultivate this character. Note where you are, where you have challenges, where you have problems. Check how you handle other people's business. Check how you handle other people's. Anywhere I live, any house I live that I did not build, when I want to leave your house, when I hand you back your house, it will be exactly as it was when you gave it to me. Ask my wife, it's a decision. I learned this long ago. When I didn't have a car, God was teaching me some of these things. He said, if I can't trust you with what belongs to people, you are not qualified to have your own. Many of you think that poverty is your problem. There are other things. There are other things. It could be relationship problems. It could be. You may have been given a lot of opportunities that will have made you wealthy things. But unfaithfulness in relationship destroyed it. To the point that I have kids, they can mark the walls and all that. We will take, buy the same paint, put it back, paint it back. You break down the door, put it back. You don't know that God promotes you based on how you treat today. How you treat people, opportunities. You want job security. Treat that organization. Treat your career as if you own the company. You know what love is? The kind of love Christianity teaches is not exactly what people think it is like. All this feeling, I feel good about you. I have, you know, emotional whatever towards you. It's not that. It's not about affection. It's a decision of the will for the good of another. The God kind of love is defined as a sustained decision of the will for the good of another. It's a commitment and a decision to do this man good. That is agape love. That's why it's an action kind of love. It's not a talk kind of thing. There are verbal sides to it. Is a sustained direction of the will for the good of another. That's agape love. It's not a feeling. That's why you can practice it on your enemies. He said, when your enemy is hungry, give him food. He is thirsty, give him water. You are giving him water. It doesn't mean you are feeling good about it. The man stabbed you. You might be feeling the pain. You might be angry at what he did. But what he's saying, practice this thing. That's what God did, that why we are his enemies. He loved us to the point of giving his life for us. So, feeling or no feeling. And the amazing thing about agape is that after you have taken the action, the feeling now follows. The feelings come. So, what is love? is taking responsibility for your neighbor. When I learned this, you know, we used to have, you know, Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, and I'm not going to encourage you any day to turn it into a legislation or anything. Even if you win an election, become a governor or anything, don't fight the church. You will be disadvantaged by that. Like God told the man, it's dangerous to kick against the bricks. Everybody doesn't have the same level of knowledge, but there are a few things I learned. When I learned this, taking responsibility for your neighbor is what love is. I found out that if I'm in my house, it might be a Christian song that I'm playing, and I'm disturbing my neighbors, I'm not walking in love. You don't just do things because it fits you, because it's all right for you. You know, in those days after giving my life to Christ, I would like to wake up early to pray. And I wake up early, some other person is reading for his exam, some other person is still sleeping, and then you start praying in tongues. You are in the hostel, there are four people in the room, there are three people in the room. Why should you do that, for God's sake? Oh, rabababababa, you are not practicing Christianity. Love means you take responsibility, not only for yourself, you take for. I don't want him to fail his exam. This one wants to sleep. Let him have rest and sleep. So I have to speak in such a low tone that nobody knows that I'm even praying. Now, you can think about us as a church. We can buy a property in Jare, in a residential area, and we want to build a church in it. Then air condition it and seal up the place with sound. Abroad, sometimes you can walk inside a church. You can be standing at the door of a church and not hear what is going on inside. You open the door, everything is jamming. You walk inside, the door closes. The person standing on the door can't hear it. You're in a residential area. Now, because of that, night vigil. Now, I know it's God. We are praying to God, but the people in that environment cannot sleep. That is not love. We are thinking about ourselves. We are not thinking about our neighbor. Love is about our neighbor, about the other person, about the other person, about the other person. Faithfulness and covenant is about the other person. In relationship, what you are doing to the other person, it's not just saying that it's all right for me. That is selfishness. And that's what most of us are practicing in today's Christianity. Bow down your heads, let's pray. Somebody brings his dustbin, pours it on the road. That person doesn't know God. Bible says, he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God. We need to teach values in Nigeria. There is a type of Christianity we are preached to the people, and that's what they are practicing. We need to preach values. We need to teach these things in a way that it can produce changes. 40 million Christians in this country is enough to change Nigeria. Next time your car spoils on the road, you don't just say, I've found a neat place to park it. You will think about, is it going to endanger other people traveling on the road? Because I'm a God kind of person. I care about my neighbors. The lives of other people are important to me. That is a Christian. That is a Christian. What makes us Christian is that we are Christ-like. What makes us Christian is that we have the nature of God, and that nature is a nature of love, and it's a nature that is faithful to the other person that cares about his neighbor. Father, use what we have learned today to start a work of transformation in our lives, every one of us. You say your word is quick and powerful, sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. All of us, Lord, change our lives again. Don't let these truths just fly, enter through one ear and depart from the other. No. Let these words follow us day in, day out, till they produce in our lives the same kind of person you want us to be. Your God, the God kind of person. People who are like you, who extensions of your character and of your nature. faithful people, people who can be trusted in business, in marriage, in relationships, in the church, everywhere. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, faithfulness is scarce in today's world. Those who possess it usually rise into leadership. Wherever they come into organizations and whatever, it won't be long. Some events start singling them out. That's what distinguished Joseph. That's what distinguished Daniel. And you will be like that in this last hour. Can I hear somebody say amen? In your company, in your business, wherever you work, integrity is good business. Because you might cheat me once, but I won't keep coming back. God bless you.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900, 0805-315-3823.